jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 9 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone, how you going?
So Mark, it's not quite the same exciting feeling I'm feeling towards Supercoach this week because...
You have been very quiet this week, Marcus.
It's hard, Mark. When you have five premiums on the bench, and you have injured rookies as well and... I copped a donut, Mark. Steve Johnson, I laid out and I already stretched myself to the maximum thinness and it hurts a little bit. I could have potentially, if I knew that I was going to get a donut like this, I could have traded out Thomas instead of Wines last week and then had an extra score on ground. So that was a bit frustrating because I traded specifically to avoid a donut in the back line and I ended up copping one anyway. But I only dropped it. 223rd, Mark, so it's not too bad of a hit, and I'm back up to, I'll have 19 premiums on field this week. As long as all my players get back up, should have 19, which is a huge jump from last week, so I'm hoping we head back in the right direction this week, Mark. How'd you go?
So, let me just get this right, your saviour, Stevie J, cost you a donut.
Yeah, my saviour cost me a donut, so that hurts, especially.
And the Cats lost.
I know, it was a terrible weekend. I try not to think about footy too much. And once Sam Mays was the sub and he scored 25, I knew I was in for a bad weekend. So there was some nice surprises though, Mark. Sam Dwyer, who I kept over Need quite a few rounds ago. I traded Need out round 5, so that was a really early call. And Dwyer with a 123. He's up to 320K now. And his break-even's like negative 31. He's going to go up another 40K this week and another 30K the week after that. So he's been, absolutely brilliant. And I thought he was done. So
yeah, I remember a couple of weeks ago, I thought he might have even got dropped because the last two times that Sam Dwyer has been on my field, he has scored less than 40. The last 2 weeks, because of different reasons, he's been on my bench and he's scored 99 and 123. So as much as I love having him on my team, it's cost me quite a few points over Sam Dwyer over the last month or so. My team on the weekend did all right. I had Dora on the field. It was Dora or Need, and I went with Dora, and it cost me 30-odd points in the end. But 22.67 was my score, jumped up about 800 spots in the rankings, so just outside the top 2,000. And a week ago, I wasn't feeling very confident about my team, but now, looking at it, pretty happy with the way things are going. If Gibbs can get back this week, I think my team's pretty strong. I, last week, traded Daisy to JPK, and JPK scored 151, and I did Wines to Prudis. So my team is definitely looking a lot better, and it's going to be all about the buys from now on, Matt.
And just want to give one more pump up. Nick Vlosten, Mark. 141 points. Boom, boom. Really, really happy with his selection. I brought him in.
Was against Melbourne.
Yeah, but come on. I brought him in after that one sub game, and that was early, and I wasn't expecting him to be scoring like this. I don't think anyone was expecting him to perform quite like this. But Vlosten and Ellis as well, who we'll talk about soon, they've been getting off the chain a little bit at Tigerland. So
yeah, it was against the Demons, and the week before it was against Port, I think. So they got the Bombers this week, so they might come back to earth a little bit, as long as the Bombers play all right. And they're definitely not going to be playing Melbourne every week. I remember the week that you brought Vlosten in, a lot of people were tossing up between him and Saunders, and Saunders was the sub week and hasn't played since, I think. So, yeah, that was a big call to pay the extra for Vlosten. A big difference in scores there.
Yeah. Now, this week's rundown's a tiny bit different. Instead of doing trade in, trade out, and then the questions, we're just going to run through positionally and then just feed in the questions from Twitter and Facebook where appropriate. So we'll start in the back line, Mark. And Thurlow, he's the topic of discussion. And I know I talked him down with his job security last week, but in the end, I decided that if I was going to take a rookie risk, that I was actually best to take it last week. So I decided to take Thurlow and keep Staker as a more secure option for this and next week. So I actually did bring Thurlow in last week, Mark, and in a week where I was relying really heavily on my rookie scores, I was very happy with his 85, and he even beats the 77, which we were already impressed with the week before. So I know a lot of people are looking at bringing him in this week. Before I give my two cents, how did you see his game and how do you see his job security more importantly?
Really liked the game on the weekend, mate. We got to see him pretty closely at the Essendon Cats game in his first game a couple of weeks ago, and we're very impressed by what we saw. And to me, he actually looks a little bit like Stevie J when he gets the ball, just the way he sort of hovers over the ball and kicks it. And that's a pretty big compliment, I think. So his first round draft pick, the Cats seem to love him. The Geelong have got a really easy draw coming up, meaning that they're more likely to rest their stars than they are a first year player. So look, if he can play through the byes, I think he'd be very happy. He's been scoring really well. So I guess the biggest endorsement I can give is that I'll be bringing him into my team this week. You never know what's going to happen with rookies. He could be a sub, he could get dropped, anything could happen. But yeah, definitely a target for my team. And if you've got a Heath Stevenson or a Port defender or something like that, yeah, I'd be moving Thurlow in and taking the cash.
Mark, do you know which buy round in our back line that we're struggling to find players from?
That would be round 12, mate.
And Thurlow has a buy when, Mark?
Pretty sure Geelong have the round 12 bye.
Yeah, so he actually works pretty well for most teams, and you
He's
like
my he will be my only round 12 bye player in defense after this week.
you like taking the risk even more, that job security risk if it suits your team structure like that. And I suspect he'll suit most team structure with the premiums that are available in the back line. So, yeah, I'm probably a bit more optimistic about his job security after last week. Obviously, another good performance really helps. But importantly, last week, Schroeder stayed in the team too, which I certainly wasn't expecting, and performed okay as well. So I would have thought that he'd be dropped before Thurlow. And Thurlow obviously has more of a defensive responsibility. So I think him and Guthrie of the young kids are probably two of the most defensive-minded ones. So I think he's probably safe from the types of Caddy and Schroeder. They're probably competing for a smaller forward or a small or wing type position, whereas Thurlow probably is getting a little bit more. Well, he got that exposure because Rivers and then Corey went down, so he slotted it into the back line. So hopefully, like Mark said, it's a bit of a roll of the dice, but hopefully he shows up at the right time. And I'm thinking for most people, we'll be fingers crossed for the round 13 bye. That's probably when we'll need him the most, with, I think, Heppel, Shaw, Goddard, and Gibbs all with that round 13 bye.
So I think maybe one of the bigger concerns is Geelong have Port Adelaide, Gold Coast, Giants, Brisbane over their next four games. Is the ball even going to get into the back line, mate?
Yeah, I think that's the good thing about Thurlow, is that he seems to be picking up possessions all around the ground. It's been pushing up the ground, seeing him getting posses on the wing, and
Good disposal as well.
yeah, they seem to be making use of him and giving the ball a bit to him. So we like to look after our kids, and like Mark said, it reminds him a bit like Stevie J. And I certainly noticed that with a few low penetrating kicks, Mark. So certainly like him.
All right, I think we've talked him up enough, mate.
Mick has asked Thurlow v Webster, so I guess that's the other consideration, Mark. Webster, who plays for St Kilda, is also on the bubble. How do you see him as compared to Thurlow? Doesn't quite have the scoring potential, but I know that all the Saints fans are all wrapped for his job security, and they want the kid to be playing going forward.
Yeah, the Saints fans do seem pretty supportive of job security. That was one game I actually missed on the weekend, so probably can't report too much about Webster. And the fact that I'm quite keen on Thurlow means I haven't really looked at Webster too hard. Now, you've already got Thurlow. Maybe you might have looked at him a bit more than me.
Yeah, I think if you're picking up Thurlow already, and with Staker coming up, it's probably a bit hard. So because I have Staker penned in, and because I have to get rid of Days, you haven't looked as closely at Webster, but I know people are considering him purely because of the job security thing too. He's around 12 by St Kilda as well, the same as Thurlow. He's attractive in that regard as well. I'd probably have Thurlow ahead of him just because you take the scoring potential where you can, and we don't often come across rookies that average 80 across their first two games. So purely off the back of that, Mark, I'm going off Thurlow, but it does seem a little bit more risky because Webster does seem more likely to play in that round 13 game.
Yeah, and I guess I brought Saunders into another comp, so feeling a little bit burnt by Saints rookies. And although they're going to play the kids, there are a few kids floating around that they're probably going to get games into, so they can't play them all at once.
Anyway, we'll move on to another player who's really broken out this year, and Vic's asking about Brandon Ellis, Mark. We mentioned him before from the Richmond Football Club. 39 disposals on the weekend. He had 16 in one quarter of football. It was absolutely incredible. And I think he was about 200K a few weeks ago. This is, I think,
Yeah.
fourth ton that he's notched up, or I think he scored 190 in those four games. But He's been absolutely flying since, you know, being sub a few in the first few games of the season.
I think out of the first five, he was either subbed on or subbed off in four of them. So that's why his price got so low. He did have a really poor first round game against the Blues, I think. So, again, look, they've played Melbourne. If you got on Brandon Ellis, then good on you and enjoy that ride and that free money. And you might end up looking to trade him out at some point because I'm not sure that he's going to keep up the big scores. But then, I mean, if you did Gibbs to Ellis a few weeks ago, you'd be absolutely laughing right now. And I'd say it's too late to bring him in, though, even though he would have a really low BE after the weekend. So.
Negative 10 at 400K, but two players that I do potentially see as top six backs are Grant Birchall, who definitely is one for mine, but Hartlett was one that a lot of people are looking at as a top six back, but probably wavering in the last few weeks. So let's talk about those two players, Mark, because one, they both have a bye in round 11, and two, they've both been performing pretty poorly. If I can read you the last three scores for Hartlett, 53, 29, and 77. So he's at 437K with a break even of 157. And if we look at Birchall, similarly poor, 80, 59, 74, and 436 and 158. So pretty similar stats and pretty similar starts to the year. Were firing and then the tag went on and they've been quiet since. Now, with their bye coming up so early, should people be looking to hold off until after the bye, or should they be bringing in these players just because, you know, they're such great value at the moment? I know Grant Birchall's probably the main one to look at because he does have, I think, Gold Coast and Melbourne coming up, but he might also be in line for a rest because he's played a full preseason and has not missed the game as well. So these are all considerations I know coaches are looking at with Hartlett and Birchall.
Yeah, I think Birchall's break-even's 158, Hartlett 157. They're both priced around the 436 mark. And it seems with their round 11 bye, there's just no reason to be ringing them in. I mean, I know Birchall does have those two easy games, but he's still going to be cheap in 2 weeks or 3 weeks after his bye. So he's going to present a great upgrade target for, I mean, you might even look to upgrade Goods or someone like that. Or, geez, Thurlow might have even made some money by then. So definitely post round 11 for those guys. And I'm actually probably going to trade Hamish Hartlett out of my team this week, Matt.
Wow. Okay, because that's also a strategic thing, Mark, because you've got to think about the rookies that you have on ground, not just the premium. So I think a lot of teams would actually be looking at, for example, I'm personally looking at, I've got three rookies left on ground after this week. So next week, I'll either be looking at, if I do, in fact, upgrade, I might already be downgrading to store cash. But if I'm upgrading, Mark, I'll be looking at either turning someone like O'Meara to someone like Selwood, or I'd be turning someone like Pittard to someone like Birchall, even though they have the round 11 bye. Do you think it's more beneficial to turn, you know, a poorer rookie like a Brown, a Laird, or a poorer backline rookie into a premium defender than, you know, a lot of people at the moment? Our last few rookies in the midfield are the really high premium scoring rookies like O'Meara and like Jones, who's even averaging 80 or 90 over the last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have three backline rookies this week: Goods, Vlosten, and Thurlow. And I mean, I'd back all of them to match Hamish Hartlett's output at the moment. So I see no reason to be upgrading them if the person that I'm upgrading them to is probably just going to have a similar output. I guess if you've got the Brown or Laird types on the ground, which I'm not sure many people would unless there's an injury, then I guess maybe it makes a little bit more sense.
Let's take Birchall as the comparison then before we move on to Hartlett, because obviously we have to talk about Hartlett. That's a pretty damning assessment, Mark. But let's compare him to someone like Birchall instead, who, you probably still see him as a top six back. So in that situation, you know, would you consider bringing him in because it's more beneficial, you know, having Birchall on ground ahead of a backline premium rather than, you know, Selwood ahead of O'Meara, for example?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying, but I think, like, you'll probably encounter buy troubles as well because you might have Goods and Vlosten and maybe one of the poor rookies as well. So you have a few round 11 players up there. And as soon as they're going to present such great upgrade targets after round 11 in 3 weeks, I would be very loath to bring them in now because you're going to need them in 3 weeks' time.
Agree with you completely there, Mark. So Hartlett then, Mark, just understanding that you don't want to bring him in anyway, is he really gone for the season or is he just gone for after the bye? Are you really that worried? It's been three poor weeks.
Yeah, it has been three really poor weeks and it's coincided with Port not doing so well. He's lost a bit of cash, and he's being tagged right out of games. His disposal efficiency's gone down, and they do have Geelong this week at Amy, which is a little bit tough, and then the Doggies the week after in Darwin, so maybe an easy game there, and the Giants straight after the bye, but after that they go into Sydney, Collingwood, Essendon, and Hawthorn. The draw gets a bit tougher. I just don't really want to have any Port Adelaide players in my side at the moment if I can avoid it for my team.
Okay, so can I compare him to a player that might be a bit close to your heart, Mark? Is he the Brent Stanton of the back line then?
quite possibly. Stan's got tagged out against Brisbane. It was quite interesting that it's probably the first time this year that tag's actually gone to Stance, and it happened about this time last year. The Bombers lost, so I wonder what that says about Job's potential going forward. I know he's very cheap this week. At the moment, yes, and it's incredible to see the transformation in Hartland. Like, he is a really, really good kick, and he's been kicking scrubbers along the ground that have just completely missed targets.
The perceived pressure on him is very high. So, I do want to ask you a bit more seriously about Stanton because he has dropped a bit in price, Mark. He had that 41 with the injury where he was subbed out in round six, missed the round seven game against GWS, come back this week, got tagged 51. So, that's two really poor games in a row. He's at 490K now and a break even of 202. Now, last year he started off the season absolutely on fire, and this year did similar 117, 128, 99, 117, 119 in the first five games before he got injured. Now, Essendon obviously won the first six games. They lost the last two. So you do have to take that in consideration. They had wins in all of the first five games. But how do you see Stanton moving forward? Do you think Essendon can support, two 115 plus midfielders, and is Brent Stanton one of those players?
Because I guess Goddard's a bit under that. And look, I don't think he's going to be a 115. I think that if he gets down to about the 420 mark or something, and you can sort of side swap him and bring him in as your ninth midfielder, you'd be pretty happy. A lot depends on your thoughts on Essendon. I think there's probably too much doubt over whether Essendon is just going to do their usual thing of a mid-season slump. And the fact that Brisbane beat Essendon after tagging Stanton instead of Job, whereas the tag has normally gone to Job this year, I think that probably is not a great indication for Stanton's scoring future. He does really suffer with the tag, and he's probably better suited the non-Supercoach games, the games purely based on possessions as well.
We've got a question here from Brendan Colley, who asks, is it too late to pick up Jesse Lonergan, Mark?
Good question, Matt. He was very much on my radar last week, and I was actually going to pick him up and then just delayed the decision and I sort of changed my plans and decided to bring in the JPK instead, so missed him. And look, he's got two sub 50s in his first couple of games and then just dominated in his third. So Suns had a wing. They're not going to do that every week, but he definitely showed his potential and the reason why everyone was talking him up. 190K is too much for him, and I like Crouch better at a similar price.
I think I agree with you there, Mark. I think neither of us are too surprised. He did say that with the time on ground he was getting in the centre that he was looking up. So I think agree with you there that Crouch is probably better. But we've got two other midfield rookies that I kind of want to talk about. And they're both our boys, Mark. One Geelong boy and one Essendon boy, both on the bubble. So first up, let's give your boy a roll, Kavanagh.
He copped a fair whack on the weekend. That was right in front of us at the game from the other rookie from Brisbane, Justin Clark, and sort of took a mark, and Clark ran into him pretty heavily, and Cav had rib soreness for the rest of the game, and because Hurley had been subbed out, sort of had to play through it, so probably didn't have quite as good a game as was expected. I think we really like Cav. We're trying to develop him, but he's still on the fringe of the Essendon Best 22, and I guess because of that hard hit on the weekend, didn't really get his chance to prove himself. I'm a big fan of him. I don't think he's necessarily Supercoach relevant just because he's a big sub risk and he's expensive and borderline best 22.
The Geelong player that we're going to talk about now, Jordan Schroeder, is probably in the same boat. He's priced 144K, so he's a bit more expensive because he played a couple games last year, 54, 58 in the first two games. He was a sub in the first game, and last week I thought he'd be dropped, Mark, but he held his place, didn't play as a sub, and I actually quite enjoyed his performance on the weekend, but I just think we have too much pressure on the small spots there, so he's probably too much of a risk. Probably prefer a Crouch type even ahead of Schroeder personally.
Yeah, I agree with that. People will actually be looking to make that trade this week because of the sad news on Jack Viney having the beginnings of a stress fracture in his foot. They've said that he's going to be out for 3 or 4, which means we're getting into bye period. So you're probably going to have to deal with Jack before the buys. I do have Viney on my bench, and it's a big shame because he just started to look good. He posted his second 100 from the year, and I think given a couple more games, really could have started making some money. So in a normal year, I would actually be holding Viney and looking forward to him coming back. But this year, because we have the buys, I think I just can't afford to hold him for a few donuts. So maybe someone like Crouch, Viney to Crouch does make sense if Crouch is selected. I'll probably be looking at maybe a Viney to stake a move next week by using a bit of DPP either way.
Okay, now to the rucks, Mark, and we're going to go rookies again. Jared Witt's on the bubble.
Gone. Won't play this week.
Won't play this week. So I guess next player to talk about in the rucks, and he's probably the next biggest talking point after Thurlow this week. And that Crisis K asks, is it time to jump on Nick Nat, Mark? Is it the Nick Nat time? He's played his third game, kicked the winning goal, 140 points, and dropped a bit in price, I think about 50K. So he's at 575K now.
And has a break even of about 100?
Yeah, we're hoping he'd be a bit cheaper, Mark, but I'm guessing not now.
That bloody winning goal. He only got about 40 points for the winning goal, so he was on track for 100 anyway. I'm having a little bit of a battle with Nick Nat myself because I really want to get him in because I really like him. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there thinking the same. He averaged 113 last year. If he did that again as a forward, that's a huge result. I could get Stevie J, but Stevie J sort of has an injury risk. He's about the same price. I was really worried over the preseason that Nick Nat had OP or some sort of groin issue. And we've seen in the past that ruckmen with OP do not do very well. Yet he's come back. He's looked fit. He's winning contested ball. He's jumping as high as he ever has. His game is just made for Supercoach. Although there is less ball ups around the ground this year, so less opportunities for him to get points for taps, he can still get those contested possessions, take those marks, kick the goals. I think it probably a little bit depends on West Coast's future. So if West Coast do well, he'll do a little bit better. He didn't have too many really poor games last year and had some really big games of the 150 pluses. What do you think, mate? I'm sort of bringing him in because I just really would love to be barracking for Nida every week.
As much as is an excitement machine, Mark, you're right. He's built for Supercoach. And you think that when Nick Nat's at his prime, that, you know, he can maybe even match Ablett's type of average because the points that he gets from taps are huge. And we've seen ruckman score well off that. But beyond that, we've not seen a ruckman move around the ground like he can. So it's just scoring potential that's just off the charts. And, you know, if he's a player that can average 115, like you said, Mark, I like the people that are going early on him. I think he's really aggressive, and I personally don't mind it. But I'm going to look to get him after the bye, Mark. I'm certainly going to target him. But I want to get a little bit more of a look at him, and then I'll be happy to pick him up after the bye, I think. But I can understand the people who are going for the risk this week. I'll be interested to see just how you end up on that decision, Mark.
Yeah, because I'm not 100% sold on it. It does do a lot of really great things for my team, buy-wise and just balance-wise. So I think it seems like a good move, and that there is some talk out there that Cox might not play this week. And if that happened, it'd give me another out in that area. So, yeah, look, 575 seems a lot to pay for him. If he was 530, I think it would be an absolute no-brainer, and that he'd be a great target to bring in. So, I can understand you waiting, mate, but he's got the Giants this week, and I think he probably prefers the contested footy games a little bit better than those easy ones. But, I mean, he could post another 140, 150 this week, and then all of a sudden, after the bye, he's way out of your price range.
The question you posed before, which Jordan Donaldson also asked, is Nick Nat vs Stevie J, Mark. Maybe get a bit more of a breakdown on that. How do you stack Stevie J up against Nick Nat? He's your number two option, is he?
Probably not. I just think that Stevie J will miss at least one more game. I think that given West Coast's current position on the ladder, they'll be less likely to rest someone. Nick Nat still might get arrested in an easy game late in the season, but I just think that they might need him to keep pushing through and to win these games. So just for that reason, I think I'm not realistically considering Stevie J, especially considering like he's not even 100% to travel this week.
I think anyone that has the cash to bring him in, I probably would. I'd say that, like, if he was playing for any other team, that they'd say Stevie J is definitely playing this week. Geelong are just so careful, and Travis Cloak is another player with that same sort of massive scoring potential, Mark. And I know you hate to bring him up, but You know, after that 36 a couple of weeks ago, break even on 168, 495K. Collingwood have a really good draw mark to the bye with, I think, Western Bulldogs, Melbourne, and I think Gold Coast or GWS. So three pretty weak opposition.
Wow.
Do you think he's a nice punt for the rest of the year? As much as you might hate to admit it, Mark, with his form and with what he's shown as a key position forward, Cloke actually has the potential to average 105 as a key position forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to find a way in me to say something positive here, mate. Cloke is a round 13 buy player, which is good because it's hard to find a forward that plays round 13 buy. I think that his scoring potential is really good this year, and he's gone past the whole crap that he went through last year with the contract negotiations and that sort of hoopla. Teams are putting a lot of work into him at the moment, but he's still getting up the ground and taking those marks and kicking some goals. So look, there's probably worse options out there. It'd be nice to get him for 450 rather than 490, which is a possibility. And that draw that you mentioned does sound pretty good.
So, just bringing him up for Manly for people next week. So after Sydney this week, thinking about bringing him up for probably, he'll hopefully be about 460, 465. All right, so I guess that's Buddy in for me this week, Mark. And I think Joel Selwood, El Capitano, might come in for Geelong's hot run too for me. So I'm hoping for rested. A big week. Hopefully he doesn't.
Joel Selwood will be rested or injured, guaranteed.
Hopefully he doesn't. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But you can sit there in your smug JPK camp. And
I will when it happens. Like with the Heath Shaw incident, and he did something stupid. When Selwood gets rested or injured, you know where I am.
All right. Anyway, all the best for the upcoming round. Hopefully both of us move up, and so does the rest of the Supercoach coach community. And we'll catch you guys back for next week. It's probably the last week for upgrading next week, Mark, because we're heading into buy season. We're going to need to bank some cash soon. So a whole lot of strategy to come up, and keep tuned to supercoachcoach.com.au.
Yeah, I think next week we might just call it the Brent Staker Show.
And we'll catch you guys next week. See ya. Yeah.